Well, it's good to be here. I always enjoy ministering to men because I'm one of them. Men are like, kind of like trucks. You know, they show up and work all day. They're rugged. They're always there to help in any way they can. But they're a rough bunch to preach to sometimes. But we had fun. And I had a good time anyway. I started trying to shut down a little bit because I said, well, I've gone too long. And when I started to stop, then I realized that they have really, they said, no, go. Now, I need to ask, Pastor, how long do you want me to minister? And don't say however long you want to go, because I could go till
an hour?
Okay, I can do that, easy. Because one of the things you have to understand is that if you have $3,650 in assets, you're one half of the richest population in the world. Where we go, Nepal, average income $18 a month. People work all day just to eat. When I went to Ghana, Africa, I met a young African. It's a miracle story from word from beginning to. I spent a whole hour talking about Ghana. I got there and met a young 20-ish, 20, probably 5-year-old young pastor that was making about $18 a month. His mother had built a church, and she was raised by an educator, and I had met his granddad, big stately gentleman. He was an educator, but never taught his daughter to read or write, because that would be a waste of time. She had travel markings, but she got saved to the bone, got spirit filled, and she began to preach and built a church. And have her children read the Bible to her, and she would preach what the women, what the kids would read to her.
Praise the Lord.
And now he's got a youngest here, and she lays hands on him, says, "You're the next pastor." And he reaches out to me. He sees a number in a magazine that we had advertised in probably Charisma or something. We were doing a missions conference, and he wrote down the number. He called the number, and someone there had given him my home number, and he calls me at 3 a.m. And I'd been away from that ministry for probably 5-6 years, and they gave him my home number. Someone did that, and they're opportunists. Africans, just because you get an email from an African says, "Hey, we have such need. Let's believe me, they're opportunists, they're thieves out there. You have to be careful where you send your money to. I have guys that come to me all the time, "Well, I've been spending this guy $500 a month for 5 years. I went, "He's a crook.
Yeah.
He's a thief." You got to be careful. Anyway, that's food for thought. So I went over there and began to minister, and he knew nothing. And I just began to teach him the principles of faith. The principles of faith. And how he can give and receive. Simple. One person had a car in the entire congregation. It wasn't a very good car. And the facilities were horrible. Now, fast forward. I probably helped him for the first 8-10 years financially. And then one day I said, "That's it, son. I'm never going to help you anymore financially. I have taught you the things of God. I've taught you faith. Now then, there's enough money in Ghana to build the work of God."
Amen.
And he said, "Dad," he called me Daddy. He says, "Dad, that's a very sad day for me." and he was, I don't want to go down this road because I'll never get to where my message. He was single. And so I've been there about 3 days, and I said, "I need to to email my wife and let her know I'm alive. This is in 2002. And so he goes to this internet cafe, and I'm sitting there emailing Sandy. He said, I'm alive. I'm in Ghana. Everything's good. I want to come home. I don't like being here. I don't know why I'm here. This is a waste of my time. Why did you, you know? So I'm in there, and he says, Dad. I says, yes. He says, you see that girl? I says, yeah, I see her. He says, Dad, she sings beautifully. I went, great. I said, Dad, see that girl? I said, yes, son, I see her. Dad, she's very godly. I went, he's single. I said, I'm going to give you money once you take her out. He says, Dad, you give me courage. Now, you don't understand, guys, about honor and authority. Our Western culture has no idea of it. I thought I knew it, not to the depth that they do. He tells the story that I told him to marry her. And I didn't. I said, I'm going to give you money and you take her out. I get a phone call. He says, Dad. He says, yeah. So you remember the girl that you told me to take out? I says, yes, son, I do. He said, she's going to be my wife. I said, wonderful, wonderful. He says, Dad, no, that's not good. You don't understand, I have to buy a dowry. He said, I have to buy a cow. I said, well, how much is a cow? Anyway, about $1,000 later, we got a new wife. And we have two beautiful African grandchildren. The girls, they're dolls. Sandy spoils them, takes all kinds of stuff to them every year. He has making $18. He was uneducated, $18 a month. He was uneducated. Now then, today, well, actually, at the day I told him that I was not going to give him any more money, I walked outside. And I just drew with my foot. And all of, he's got a good facility there. Lots of land. Here's where you're going to build your offices. Here's where you're going to build a library. Here's where you're going to build a children's area. The youth area, which they had no idea to do. They didn't know anything about ministering to youth or children. And I says, and here's going to upgrade your bathroom facilities because they were horrible. I'm going to do that over here. I've dedicated every one of them.
Glory to God.
Every single one of them. Not one U.S. dollar went into that. They did it with Ghanaian money. Now you pull up the parking lot, it's cars, BMWs. Nice cars. His office is elaborate, air conditioned. He has another office now that he's built, and it's even more elaborate than the other one. He travels all over the world. He's been to Italy, he's been to Austria, he's been, to the UK, all over Africa to preach the gospel. He's an author. He's raised three people from the dead. One day he was driving down the road, and he says that he come across a Muslim funeral, and he says the Spirit of God told me, he says raise that boy from the dead. He says, I said, stop the car. I says, he doesn't drive, thank God. So he says, stop the car. So the guy stops the car, and he gets out, and he stops the funeral, and he walks over and picks up about a 10-year-old boy, and he holds the boy up. Of course, everyone's in shock. They just, what do you do? Somebody's got a hold of a body here. Holds the boy up, says, in Jesus' name, I command this boy to live. And he says, Dad, I was so shocked. I brought him down, and he was still dead. And he says, I said, Lord, you told me to do this. Father, in Jesus' name, I command this boy to live. I held him up again. I brought him back down. He opened his eyes. So I set him before, I says, give him something to eat. And he said, four Muslims fell to their knees and received Christ right there. The African, I taught on, there's a miracle in your hand, there's a miracle in your mouth, there's, you know, got that, whatever you have is an asset. What you need, everything you, I mean, whatever you have right now is the material that that God can use to build your miracle. And and we went to a fishing village, and it was, you go to a fishing village, this guy built nets, and I'd gotten through, we went to his place, and he gives us water and sodas, and it's a very man, rough, dirty area, and he makes nets for the fishing industry. And after I got through ministering, just to come up and pray for him a little bit, just to bless his business, he walks over, and he's a good-looking man, he gets on his knees before me on concrete, dirty concrete, I might add, and he hands me an envelope full of money. And he says, "Here, I want you to bless me." I go, "No, I'm not going to receive this money." I said, "He doesn't have a credit card. He doesn't have a checkbook. That's it." I said, "No, I'm not going to do this." I said, he says, "But you told me there's a miracle in my hand." And I laid hands on him and prayed for him. It is now, you go now, he's got like, I've got a whole video of it. He's got probably a dozen men working for him. He says, "I can sell it faster than I can get it." He says, "What I need now is I need you to pray that I can get the material I need to build these nets, because I am," he says, he's built a house that's over $100,000. God does it. And they say the gospel says we can't go preach the gospel of prosperity in a foreign country and it work. Seen it. My wife will tell you she's seen it. She's seen it. And it works. And God will do it. And you know, always get people get so, I can't understand why people get so challenged, the ones on a dime on a dollar. A dime on a dollar. Really, you're gonna let a dime stand between you and a miracle?
Amen.
10%?
Yes.
Does that even make sense to anyone here? I mean, the breath, the air that you breathe, the water that you drink, the food you eat, and all we get to do is partner with God.
Amen.
And some of you need to say, "Hey, wake up. I've been giving out of just religious tradition." No. Come on. God wants to get more through to you so he can get it through you. Anyway, enough of that. So, hallelujah. I've transitioned my church. My son now is I'm a campus of his, and they take care of my salary, and I'm able to go wherever I want, whenever I want. And we were 8 nations last year. I have just booked a trip to Saudi Arabia. They just opened that up as a Muslim country where it's against the law to preach the gospel there. We will follow their guidelines, but we've got some friends that are there that are working, and we'll be there trying to support them, help them, and minister there as well. So, all right. And I have an organization called Peace to the Nations, and that's now that's what I do. I go to the nations. And this morning, I had misplaced my keys. And my wife has hers, but I can't find mine. And I'm putting gas in the car. She says, "What are you preaching on?" I said, "I'm preaching on peace." I figured such. Because I lost it, you know. Because when you lose your keys, you lose your peace. Is that right? So we're going to talk about peace today. Is that all right? We'll jump right in here. I want us to understand that peace is a very powerful weapon. It is, if you want victory, you need the peace of God operating in your life. You know, so often we get frustrated with life. We get disappointed. People... relationships can really upset you, and it's like our peace just disappears. I believe that we need the peace of God to overcome frustrations and difficulties and situations that come our way. because we've all dedicated our life to the Lord. Not, if you haven't, then hopefully today you will. And we understand that the peace of God belongs to us. People, you know, have passionate disagreements about issues. Some would call those arguments, but we call them passionate disagreements. And we lose our peace. And I believe that when we have confusion comes in, every evil work comes in, and we... The Bible says that in Proverbs 15:1, you just write them down. I'm going to go quickly, and I'm not going to have you turn to any of them, just if you need to, take notes. It says, a soft or a peaceful answer turns away wrath. I keep trying to tell my wife this. As men, we have a tendency to be a little bit brash. When it comes out of our mouth, we never mean it to be brash. For instance, if I'm working with Pastor Scott and we're outside working, I says, Scott, hammer! He's going to go get me a hammer. He's not going to be offended by that. He's not going to be upset by that. He's just going to know I need a hammer. Now, if I walk over and say, Sandy, hammer! Guess what? I just caused trouble. She going to throw the hammer at me. Or she going to say, get your own dang hammer and turn around and walk away. Now, I keep telling her, that, listen, honey, if I'm abrupt or rough or harsh, I'm just never in my heart to be that way. Now, if you would learn this scripture, that a soft answer turns away wrath, because when you come at me, guess what? Well, that stirs me up, so I'm going to come at you. We don't do that, do we? No, we don't. But a harsh or hurtful word or an offensive word stirs up anger. Peace. Peace. 18 times the New Testament declares grace and peace over our lives. Nearly every book that Paul starts with, let the grace and peace be multiplied to you. We know that in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, it says this, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government of peace, there will be no end. Now this scripture announces the Messiah. His name will be called, his title, his function is the Prince of Peace. There shall be no end to the increase of his government of peace. It will never end. And the definition of peace, if we've been around the Hebrew word at all, shalom. What a mighty word that is, shalom. It means protection, health, happiness, prosperity, favor, to be at peace, all is well, to be whole, nothing is missing and nothing is broken in your life. Peace. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, has established his government of peace, and the Prince of Peace is currently ruling and enforcing his government of peace for his people. As citizens of his kingdom, of the kingdom of God, we have rights and privileges that sometimes we do not claim. Peace belongs to us through the abundant salvation that Jesus Christ has given us. We have protection, health, happiness, prosperity, favor, nothing missing, nothing broken in our life. Jesus is the Lord of peace, and he governs over his kingdom of peace, his government of peace. And his kingdom of peace is forever expanding, and his government of peace cannot be stopped by any border. There is no government of man that can hinder his peace. No devil, no demonic force can stop his peace. The Prince of Peace walks with us unhindered into any jail cell, into any communist country, any Muslim country. The peace of God destroyed guilt and condemnation, able to bring salvation to souls. Nothing can restrict the Prince of Peace or hinder his government of peace ruling in the lives of his people. His peace will never come to an end.
Amen.
This is a powerful word. I pray that you get this today. Through the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the government of peace, his government of peace is forever established in your life, in your family, in your business, in your church, but you have to enforce it.
Amen.
It doesn't work automatically. The truth is, we all face frustrations, trials, and difficulties that attempt to rob us of our peace. When we get worried, fearful, upset, we can give away the most powerful weapon we have, and it is the peace that God has given us. Turmoil, fear, doubt, frustration, defenses, they do their best always to overthrow the government of peace that God has given you. I remember driving in Dallas traffic one time. It was around the holidays, so several years back, and I wasn't doing anything different. I was just following that guy in front of me. I hadn't changed lanes in miles. I had just following the guy in front of me. And I look behind me, and there's a guy, it's a Bubba in a pickup truck. And Bubba has his middle finger held up at me. And I look and I go, what in the heck? And I understood that he wasn't trying to send me a message of peace. I have that kind of discernment that operates in my life. The Spirit of God just spoke to me. That's not peace. I thought, well, how do I combat this? Do I just roll my hand down and go like this? I said, no, that won't work. And I thought, well, you know, I'm a pastor. Come on. No one flips off pastors every day. I'm not used to this kind of offensive hand gesture. I don't know why he's doing that. I said, oh, he was in a freak accident and cut off all of his fingers except his middle finger. And now then, that must be why that's going on, because I couldn't come up with any other conclusion. And there for a moment, this one-fingered bandit stole my peace. He exited off and I left me in turmoil. Isn't that something? You know, people we love can say something, and immediately we lose our peace. Instantaneously, it's gone. How many times have your husband said something and you've done this little turn around and off you go, and you go, what did I? And then your wife says something and you just walk outside and you finish her. Or someone doesn't wave at you in church. Someone snubs you. And we give our peace away. We come in contact with bad drivers and we say awful things about them. We talk to them. And then they drive off with our peace. Yeah. Idiots. Lord bless them and teach them how to drive. If we watch the news, come on, this is the political news alone. Not counting what's going on in the world today, it doesn't take long. Jesus, what's going to happen to the world? Hey, peace is what you need to have. Because the world we live in will behave like the world. Don't get shocked when the world behaves like the world. They're just going to do it. They're ungodly. They're not going to be Christian. And so what happens when the world does something that invades our peace, we begin to lose our peace. A robbery's in progress. The enemy understands how powerful peace is in your life. And he'll do anything to steal it. So today we're going to learn how to enforce peace Jesus has freely given us. There's a Bible verse in John 6:14-27. It's a very familiar verse. It says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace. Now this is the Greek, and the Greek means the exact same thing. Protection, health, happiness, prosperity, favor, nothing missing, nothing broken. Every kind of good. Same meaning. So Jesus has left you his peace. Jesus has given you his peace. It's not the world's peace. Jesus' peace does not come and go with good news or bad news. His peace is something for you to possess at all times. Because you have Jesus, you don't have to be in turmoil. When you have peace, fear and doubt and unbelief can't rule in your life. Life's good. It's always going to be good because I'm a part of a different government. Peace is yours. Peace guarantees your protection, your health, your happiness, your protection. So we can say it like this. Jesus says, protection I give to you. Health I leave with you. Prosperity I give to you. Favor I leave with you. Happiness I give to you. Because Jesus has given you the gift of peace. Refuse to let your heart be troubled. Amen. So many times people have heart attacks out just because of stress. Have hypertension, high blood pressure because of stress. Have strokes because of stress. Let Jesus' perfect peace control you in every circumstance, and let Jesus' peace give you the courage and strength in every single challenge. John 16:33 says, Jesus is speaking to us again, and he says, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In Jesus you have protection, health, happiness, prosperity, favor, nothing missing, nothing broken. In the world you'll have trouble. Be happy. Be joyful. Because Jesus has overcome the world. Someone asks, how are you doing? You respond enthusiastically, I'm so happy. I got a bad report from the doctor. On the way back from the doctor, my car broke down. I had to walk in the rain. A man stopped to give me a ride. He robbed me. I was late for my job and I got fired. I'm so happy. I have so much joy. How can you be happy in the midst of trouble? How can you have peace in the midst of trouble? Because tribulation is always temporary. It doesn't come to stay. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't buy a condo in the valley of the shadow of death. You don't live there. The peace that Jesus gives you is eternal. It's everlasting. Peace destroys the temporary effects of all tribulation. Yeah, it did come to stay. The Bible says of all things, Jesus overcame the world. Why not overcome tribulation? Because tribulation is the issue. It's like subject matter changes. In the world you have tribulation, but I've overcome the world. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I want you to overcome tribulation, Jesus. Jesus didn't say, no, you don't understand. No, because Jesus has permanently disarmed principalities and powers, and he's forever overcome the source of all tribulation, the world. Satan and his demons or any kind of trouble can't steal your peace. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. The word rule here is the Greek word, and it means umpire. An umpire has the authority to enforce the rules of the game and to determine the outcome of the play. An umpire has the authority to enforce the rules of the game and determine the outcome of the play. Let the peace of God umpire your heart. The peace of God determines the outcome of the play. It determines the rules of the game. The rule of the game is this: the peace of God rules. That's it. Your heart, your thoughts, your passions, your desires, your appetites, that is your heart. Those are the things that make you go. That's things that suddenly you're in a dramatic spin. You get upset. No. You have to let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart. I had 2010, December 2010, I had a medical doctor that was in my church. She came by and she caught me. I was outside and she pulled in the driveway. She said, "Pastor, I'm here to listen to your heart. You haven't been looking well and I'd like to listen to you if you'd permit me." And I said, "Okay." And she out there listens to my heart and she looks at me and she says, "When Sandy gets home, you get in your car and you go to a hospital that has a full-time cardiologist on staff and go now. You're in trouble." Well, I did like any good American man would do. I totally ignored what she said. But as she was backing out, my wife pulls in and she breaks every HIPAA law known to humanity. I should have sued the woman. She tells Sandy everything that she told me. She broke the HIPAA law. Well, it wasn't very long till lo and behold, we were loaded up and we were headed to the hospital, and I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure, AFib. My heart was producing 27% of the blood that my body needed. 9 days after I was out of the hospital, I was in Costa Rica preaching a youth event. And then I was there about 7 or 8 days and went to El Salvador for 7 or 8 days. And in El Salvador, I got in trouble. I laid down and I had fluid on my lungs and I was drowning. That's not a good place to be when you're in trouble. And I got online and I typed congestive heart failure. What is that anyway? And I realized I was in trouble. But May 29, 2011, I was dramatically healed by the power of God.
Praise the Lord.
You have to let the peace of God rule. Where?
In your hearts.
Can't let congestive heart failure rule. Got to let the peace of God rule. Can't let diabetes rule. Come on.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Whatever's been plaguing you, don't call it yours. Call the peace of God. Let it rule in your heart. My daughter, when she was growing up, she was probably 14, 15 years old, and she was in, blessed young teenage girls' hearts. The boys do the same thing, but she was in a meltdown. And I grab a hold of her hands, and she's crying, and I said, "Listen, say this. I will rule my emotions. My emotions will not rule me." Say it. "I will rule my emotions." Say it. And my son learned that from me. He's got a teenage daughter, and guess what he does? Tells her the same thing. So what's stealing your peace? Or why are you giving your peace away? See, the truth is, it says be thankful. We have a lot of things to be thankful for. And so often, difficulty robs us of our peace, and we forget that we have a blessed life. Because one thing can rob you of your peace. You can have 99 things in your life right, and one thing steal your peace. That one person steals everything. Now have 100 relationships that are right, and one person makes sure that everything goes south. You get troubled over money, you get stressed about health, you get anxious about your future. Alert, your peace is being stolen. You have no peace, your faith is hindered. You don't believe that God will come through for you. Your problems are bigger than your God. So many marriages suffer because the peace of God's not ruling. Let me help you. God looked at Adam being alone and he said, "It's not good for man to be alone." It's not good. So he created him a help. a wife alongside to help. She's like the Holy Spirit, really. She's kind of like a helper. She's one come alongside to help because men need help. Now, wives are very good at helping. However, husbands sometimes can't tell the difference between help and control. She wants to help me drive. She helps me by looking at my speedometer and telling me how fast I'm driving, reminding me what the speed limit is. And when a man is attempting to park in a parking lot and he finds the spot where he thinks is a good place to park, she has to say, "Why did you park here?" And I always say, "I don't know, babe. I guess I was dropped as a child on my head. I don't know why I do the things I do." She helps me with directions. When I head a certain way, she says, "Why are you going this way?" I go this way. "Do you want me to turn around and go?" "No, that's fine." She's helping me. I drive for an hour, no trouble, no difficulty. I happen to make a small mistake, hear the on the side of the road or whatever, then she encourages me to drive more cautious. She's helping me. She's helping me. She's not controlling me. She's helping me. And then I ask, I said, "Do you want to drive, babe?" "No, I just want to look at the magazines and help you drive." Kind of way it is, huh? Yeah, I've got a helper in the car. Do you have a helper in the car? Some of you guys aren't even going to raise your hand. You're going to sit there and you act like, "I don't even know what you're talking about." And then of all things, partners in ministry that we've been in, pastored all these years, been in ministry all these years, we have been in, we love Jesus, but we have had some very loud discussions on how we think the church should be run. Now, I realize that y'all probably don't have those issues on how things run in the house or your business or the family. She's helping. She's helping. And I know that we love Jesus and we're dedicated until death us to depart or until she kills me. And ultimately to that, we want to let the peace of God rule in the car, in the home, in the business, in the church. See, God has called you to establish His kingdom of peace in your home, in your business, at your work, in your body, and be thankful. That's what He's called you to do. If you're stressed, worry moves in and steals your peace. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. You know, a thermometer does nothing but report the temperature of the room. If a room is hot or cold, it just reports the temperature. It does nothing to change the temperature of the room. Just gives you that. A thermostat, however, is connected to a higher power and can control the atmosphere of the room. If it is 66 degrees in here and you set it to 72, then the thermostat contacts the higher power and say, "Now then, let's move the temperature to 72. You're connected to the peace of God. Now, you can be a thermometer Christian or a thermostat Christian. If you walk into a room and everybody else is in drama and everybody else is losing it and everybody else is mad and frustrated and complaining, you can jump right in there and be part of the game. Or you can determine, "Nope, I'm going to sit over here and I'm going to set my thermostat to peace. I'm not playing this game. I'm not going to get involved in this. I'm going to maintain the peace of God in my life. I'm doing it now. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." You know, so often we find families of Christian people that love Jesus with all their hearts, and their homes are like war zones. Because they allow the enemy to come in and steal the peace. They don't set any boundaries. See, Jesus has given me peace. Jesus has left me his peace. Jesus is the Lord, and I have peace. So let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule. You have to say it out loud. Peace! Amen. In Jesus' name. I'm not going to be a part of this. The peace of God. My wife and I had been saved very long. And I love Jesus. As a matter of fact, I had graduated from Christ the Nations. And I went back to, and was working a secular job. And we had just moved. I just graduated. And her and I got in one of those arguments. Our first child, she was still probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old. And we got in one of those bad ones. And she had pushed all my buttons and I'd pushed all her buttons. Now, I'm a professional communicator, so I have a way of really kind of trying to overpower her sometimes. And so I begin to try to be right. As any man wants to be, wanted to be right. She's not a big woman, but I'm scared of her. And when I hit that trigger on her, it went, Lord Jesus, I want that to go away. And as that was happening, our daughter, which was asleep in the back bedroom, where she couldn't really hear what was going on, began to cry at the top of her lungs. It wasn't a cry like change my diaper, like I'm hungry. It was like something's killing me crying. And I immediately knew what I had done. That I had opened the door for strife and confusion in every evil work. I had done it. Now, gentlemen, at that point in life, it's not a matter who's right or wrong. It's a matter that you get the peace of God back. Picture with me, if you will. Here you are. Your wife is as mad as you could possibly make her. And now then this conviction of the Holy Spirit's fell on your life and you've realized you've been an idiot. And now then it's time for you to eat crow. It's time for you to apologize. It's time for you to get it right. And then you turn to your wife and says, let's pray. If eyes could send you to a flaming hell, that's where you will go. Now you want to pull the religious card on me? Really? Now you want to pull that? You want to do that? Yeah, now you want to do that? And I humbled myself more. I says, I've done this. I've opened the door. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Please pray with me. I said, see what this is doing to our daughter? Please pray with me. So I pray and I repent every way I know to repent. And at the end of my prayer, I said, honey, please say amen. She looks at me like she could kill me. She says, amen. As soon as she said amen, my daughter immediately stopped crying and went right back to sleep. You're in a real war, ladies and gentlemen. You're in a real war. I love what it says in Ephesians 4, 2 through 3 in the New Living Translations. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Stay in the unity of peace. Because peace destroys strife and every evil work. Always follow peace in every decision. You don't have peace, don't make the decision. I don't care who's badgering you or manipulating you. If you don't have peace, stop it now. Because you'll make the wrong decision. Let peace season every word. Peace is a weapon that you have. Enforce the peace that Jesus gave you. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32 in the Passion Translation. I love the way this reads. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults. But instead, be kind and affectionate towards one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. We all need forgiveness, don't we?
Amen.
See, if you want peace, you have to go around and start speaking peace. You've got to set your thermostat. Yeah. You've got to begin to set the tone. You've got to do it in your own heart. You've got to begin to do that. See, speak safety, not destruction. Speak healing, not sickness. Speak happiness. Believe the best. Speak prosperity, not lack. Speak favor and blessings over your life. So you're not a citizen of this world. You're attached to another government, to another financial system. The wisdom is first from above is peaceable. All the wisdom of God that gives you is peaceable. If you have torment in your mind, it's not from God. If you got torment in your mind about a relationship, it's not from God. If you're having bad thoughts or negative thoughts about someone, it's not from God. The enemy will begin to try to build what I call, he just ruts in your mind where you think 75% of the same thoughts every day, and some of those are negative, and it absolutely is robbing you of your peace, but you can stop it.
Amen.
The Bible says you can take every thought captive. That means you can control your thoughts. Romans 10:15 says, and how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. That's what we're called to preach, the gospel of peace. Proclaim peace. Again, remember what the definition is? The definition of peace is? What do? We preach the gospel of prosperity, the gospel of health, the gospel of protection, the gospel of favor. When you preach Jesus, the all-conquering Jesus, His righteousness is your righteousness, His victory is your victory, His peace is your peace, and you're able to preach out of that environment the gospel of peace, which changes the world. If you're frustrated, if you're mad, if you feel condemned, if you walk around with what I call in shame, you're not able ever to minister to anyone in power. The peace of God is yours, and it can overcome every single obstacle that you've got. You're called to proclaim it. So what's missing in your life today? What's broken in you? Are you struggling financially? You're struggling with fear? Are you troubled in your soul? Today's a good day to proclaim the peace of God.
Yeah.
It's your greatest weapon. Jesus gave it to you. He left it with you. It's yours. Is that right?
Yeah. That's right.
I love enthusiasm. Amen. Wave at me if you're getting this. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Think of it. The Shunammite woman. Remember the story? She has the prophet come. And she says, let me build you a house. And she builds him a house, and he comes and lays there, and he says, hey, now that I want to do something nice for you, and he prophesies over her, by this time next year you have a son. And the son grows, and he gets a certain age, and then lo and behold, he's out with his dad, and his dad sends him back to his mother because he's ill, and he lays upon his mother's lap and dies. The gift of God that the prophet of God prophesied over is dead. Now, moms, think with me. Not that I don't want you to go into that kind of a, but imagine you've got a dead child, and what does she do? She takes the dead child and puts it on the prophet's bed, and then she goes down and she says, all right, guys, servants, let's get together. Let's get the horses and mules together. Let's go see the man of God and let's go now. Let's put the pedal to the metal. Let's go. Husband comes in. And he says, she said, I'm going to go see the man of God. Is it well with you? Is it well with our son? Is everything okay? And what does she say? Oh, it's horrible. He's dead. I put him in a barrel. Put him up in the booth. It's dead. I don't know what to do. Oh, my God. I can't believe God took my child. What did she say? She said, peace. Says it as well, but what that word is there is shalom. Shalom. Peace. He couldn't read it. So they get and they head out to see the man of God. While she was yet a long way away, the prophet sees her coming and sends his servant out and says, hey, here she comes, the Shunammite woman. Go see, ask her, is it well with her? Is it well with the son? Well with her husband? Something's wrong. And here now, she is in the presence of ministry. She can now at least reveal her heart. But what does she do? This servant of the prophet says, hey, is it well with you? Is it well with your son? And she says, shalom! She realizes she has a covenant of peace. She's got something that's greater. If she utters the facts, in her mind, the facts are shalom, not death. Life, not death. Healing, not sickness.
Hallelujah.
Hmm?
Amen.
Prosperity, not bankruptcy. Reconciliation, not divorce. What does she say? Shalom! Then she goes, she falls at the prophet's feet and begins to, and he knows that something's up. And he says, he looks at her, come on, let's go down. End result of that, that boy is raised from the dead. What if she would have told the truth? The reality. He's dead. It's over. God gives and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's hogwash.
Amen.
God doesn't do that. God's not the author of that.
That's right.
That boy was raised from the dead.
Amen.
Well, have you ever lost a pet? What's the first thing you do is you go outside and you start calling it home, don't you? Start calling the name of the pet. Grown man, lost a little bitty dog, wife loves it, and you're outside walking around the neighborhood. Trixie! 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 Your neighbors look outside like you're crazy. And if your wife happens to be a cat lover and you are a secret cat lover and you can't help yourself, you don't want to tell other men that you like cats, still you like cats, and you're out saying, kitty, 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 kitty. Grown man out there, kitty, 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 Trixie. Why? Why? Because something's lost and you're calling home. Today, we're going to stand up and we're going to call the peace of God back home.
Amen.
It's ours.
Amen.
It's long enough. Enough is enough. Some of you have been living in worry and torment. The only thing the enemy can do, he can't steal your salvation, but he can steal your faith and can keep your prayers from being effective because you worry all the time. Some of you are concerned about finances and your health, all those things. Guess what? Today, we call the peace of God home. Can we do that? Can we get a little radical? Can we just get a little radical and call the peace of God home? I mean, some of you guys, some of you folks have probably called the cows home. You know, whatever you did, you called something back. You called something in that you needed. Today, we set the thermostat. We set the thermostat. Peace! I'm not going to allow the enemy to steal it any longer. Enough is enough. I've lived in this marriage. I'm tired of my children behaving like they are. We're going to set the thermostat to peace. And if you mess with it, we're going to get the frying pan up and knock you up. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to let the peace of God rule here.
Amen.
Peace belongs to us.
That's right.
Let's stand to our feet.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three, and then we're going to shout Pentecostally. You know, if not Pentecostal, then you get to tag in. We're going to be Pentecostal now. We're going to scream it out three times. Count to three. Going to scream out peace three times. Before we do, I want you to find that thing that's stealing your peace. If you're here and you're fighting an addiction and you're ashamed, you know, addiction's this: I can't get enough of something I hate. You're like a dog that returns. It's like a dog that returns to its vomit. You hate it. You just despise it. It's not who you are. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to throw a rock at you. I'm here to wake you up to the fact that you've got the peace of God in your life. You have the righteousness of Christ in your life. And you cannot any longer allow that thing to define you. The righteousness of Jesus Christ defines you. His righteousness, His grace defines you.
Yes.
It's not the sickness that defines you. It's not your asthma, your heart condition, your arthritis. No. It's God's righteousness. It's the healing. And today we're going to let all that manifest in this one wonderful word called peace. Peace. Say it softly with me. Peace. Wow. Did you feel that? Do that one more time. Peace. You sense His presence? You want to see a changed church? See a community affected? Just let the lot of you become anointed with the peace of God and walk out and see what happens. Anything is possible. Peace. Back to the pet. And we got a little to get to round it all up here. Because we call it home. It's ours. It belongs to us. You know, as there's another scripture, gosh, as Jesus is talking to him, I'm going to give you this last little thing here. It's just so powerful. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, guys, I want you to go out and announce that I'm coming. You go prepare for me coming to these cities, and when you go, I don't want you to take a money bag. I don't take a knapsack. I want you to greet no one along the way, but whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. If a son or daughter of peace is there, then the peace that's on your life will rest upon them. So they're anointed with one thing. What are they anointed with? Peace. They have nothing else. They just have peace. And then you drop down to Luke 10, verse 9. It says, and heal the sick there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. So the kingdom of God is always, the government of peace is always around the kingdom of God. So, for instance, if I if I walk over to Sandy, I'm walking along there, and I meet her and you know, her and I are just friends, and I happen to walk up and say, "Hey, how are you doing?" And Sandy says, she says, "I'm doing good." I said, "Well, how can I, you doing all right?" I said, "Yeah, well, I'm not feeling very well today. I need $1 million. Amen. She does. She need, we need to fund what God told us to do. She needs $1 million. So I said, "Great, wonderful. I don't have $1 million. But I got peace."
Amen.
And she's got something that's lacking. And she's ill in her body, has a difficulty at home. She's a son or daughter. She's a daughter of peace. I'm a son of peace. I'm able to release peace to her life. So I say, "Peace to this house." Peace that's on my life begins to transfer to her life. See how amazing this is? How powerful this is? Peace. Peace. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, when we do this, we don't want to do this as an act that just means nothing. Father, we ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon what we're about to do. There are real issues, real problems, and real difficulties in this room. And they're very important to them, the people that are here, and they're very important to you. Today, Lord, we're going to take control over that. Anointing of the Holy Spirit, sir, we ask that you come, you anoint our words, and you break every single stronghold. Give us the breakthrough that so many people here need today. Because, Lord, we're asking for the anointing upon this word of peace. This powerful word of peace. Are you ready? We're going to bring it home. We're going to count to three. We're going to say peace. We'll say it. If you just say it with all the authority and the power that you can, it's between you and the Lord. Say it. We'll say it three times. Peace. You ready? One, two, three. Peace! One, two, three. Peace! One, two, three. Peace! Peace of God. We call it home to every single person, every single one that's here. Let your peace rest upon each and every person, every business, every home. Lord, as they're driving home in the car, wherever they go, if they step into a hospital room, there they are with someone, and there they are, a person of peace, son or daughter of peace. They're able to release the peace of God. Thank you, Lord, that each one are anointed with the power of God for healing in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. I'm going to turn this to Pastor and let him do what he needs to do.
The Lord, peace, you can have it, you can walk in it, and notice that Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled." He left the key in your hands. It's not in the hands of the circumstances, it's in your hands. Amen. You can keep your peace. We have it. Do you have it? I have it. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we start this new year, 2020, stepping into the peace of God. We will keep it. We will guard it with all diligence. With your help, Holy Spirit, we will remain in peace.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. But we dismiss you. We bless you in the name of Jesus and in the peace of God. Can you just give one more big round of applause and thank you for Brother Terry sharing his life, sharing the word of God with us today. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you as you go. We'll see you next week. Have a great day in the Lord Jesus.